Joining us now is the Northfield City Administrator, Mr. Ben Martig. How are you, Ben?
Good morning.
Good
great.
Morning. Thanks for being here. Yeah. You guys had a work session last night. I hope we didn't keep you up too late.
It's all good. Busy night that goes with the territory and great policy discussion of the council.
Right.
Sounds like you had a pretty full agenda at the work session.
We did. We kind of almost, we maxed out our 3 hours. We ended just within that kind of time period that we have to extend by a majority or supermajority or whatever it is if we continue it. But yep, it was a full night.
Well, where would you like to start?
Let's start at the beginning of the meeting. We had our strategic plan presented to the city council. So we kind of had a, we call it kind of the one-page summary. It's the kind of the meat structure framework for the new strategic plan that's going to guide kind of priorities for the city over the next 4 years. And we'll be doing check-ins throughout that time period. But we're going to continue to do business as usual, but these are really focusing on areas that are really important to the community that the council said we need to, we're going to put extra emphasis on. And so we're going to be seeing a lot of similarities. We, one of the challenges I think we had on the last one that, that I think you're seeing now in the new plan is it was a good, ambitious plan, the last couple plans. We're in our third iteration of a similar type of format and structure. I think it was probably just a little too much we tried to bite off. So if you're trying to prioritize, if you make too many things a priority, then things aren't as much a priority of getting done. So the council went from six strategic priority areas down to four. Some of many of them are going to be somewhat similar, but blended differently with that. The two that kind of clearly changed for us were our climate change work and our diversity, equity, and inclusion work is really getting ingrained in kind of that business as usual. It's kind of how we do things is getting integrated to all of our work. So it's not that it's not a priority, but we've, we're now kind of ingraining it just in kind of how we do our business. So whatever we do, those things are going to be kind of an essence of how we approach that work. So economic development, so improving our financial strength as a community is a strategic priority. It's a little bit of a blend of what we had the last time, or growing our tax base, trying to bring in new commercial and industrial development, or seeing existing businesses expand so that the tax burden for residential and also for existing businesses, hopefully that rate of tax burden can go down for us. And we've made a lot of progress now with opening up some new development in the northwest area of the city. So we think this we really are now poised for the opportunity to grow that, assuming market conditions stay favorable. You know, we're always subject to kind of market conditions. Then we're also then blending in some things like looking at revenue diversification. So are there types of things we can do that might not be property tax based, that there could be other fees or revenue sources that we could have? We're fairly limited on those, but there are some that we might be able to do, or even update some types of fees and alternative revenue that we have. And then also I would say just a greater focus on financial management planning, especially over multiple 2 to 5 years, is really our goal, to get better at that, to create better predictability, and then also set some more goals around taxes and tax rates over a multi-year period. That one on the metric side, because we're tying metrics to all of these, that one in particular, we'll be developing with the council. The other ones, housing availability, we've had a housing study done. So there, we basically identified single-family housing, multifamily housing, and then preserving and rehabbing the housing stock that we have. And we have some tools to be able to do that. We get state funds to help do rehab for income-eligible people. We can do partnerships with local nonprofits that are looking at doing housing development. And then there are things we can do strategy-wise to try and encourage and open up new housing development, and even recruit potentially some developers that we think might make sense in Northfield's market. We probably not going to see one of those national major type of builders coming in, and I'm not sure that would, you know, be kind of the growth we're looking for. But we are, I think, looking to hopefully see more speculation type housing built, whereas more recently in Northfield, we've had more custom home building happening, which is great, but typically those are going to be a little higher cost. So we also want to try and find ways to increase the housing stock. That will help the affordability, even if we have market rate housing increase. Hopefully that increases the churn.
That's the key.
Yeah, so those are those two areas, I would say, the financial strength and the housing availability, very strong support from the city council through this process.
Okay.
The last pieces, I would say, are a little bit of a blend of infrastructure, sustainability, so things like looking at flood resiliency, because mm-hmm. we know we're going to continue to see storms higher. We're going to be, even though there is variability from year to year, overall we're going to see trending based on climatology predictions of wetter and warmer in Minnesota. There's going to be periods of drought that still happen, but yep. the long-term trending is that way. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we're seeing with the fires happening now in this really early heat. Those right. are going to be things that challenges us as well, but particularly around flood resiliency. Improved pedestrian safety is going to be a particular continued focus, especially really at key crossing areas to try and have safety. You think of Highway 3, how can we work with the state of Minnesota to try and improve safe crossings mm-hmm. that we have for folks is going to be an area. We can't do that one alone. And then a continuation of infrastructure related to the dam. So continuing to move that project along to remove the dam. And that one will also include funding from the state and others as we look at that to, you know, both improve the ecology of the river as well as to potentially open up a recreation tourism yeah. opportunity where it could be more navigable as well for kayaks, canoes, to really make that river a continued asset. Want it to still look beautiful and have a nod to the history will all be important components of that. But we're going to continue to work on that one into the future as well.
I was actually a little surprised to hear that the dam is still on the table. I kind of thought that had gone by the wayside. But it makes, if you're looking for flood mitigation, it makes perfect sense to take that thing down and maybe do some stuff with Ames Park too.
Yeah, right? The flooding issue on the dam is we do have concerns as it relates to backup of debris and things yeah. along there, and ultimately the city has to get involved in that because there's no direct responsibility of POST who owns that to clear it out, and the DNR does not actively clear that. So that does right. create some risks. Otherwise, with the dam going away, there isn't a huge impact to the overall flood size, flood impact with it. It won't create a whole bunch of more flood resiliency for us, but it's those other two issues, particularly okay. the ecology of the river. That there is no functional purpose of that dam anymore, mm-hmm. and so fish and wildlife in the ecology of the river is really damaged from those types of dams. And so you'll see, you know, if we can improve that, you'll actually see the fishing experience improve dramatically. You'll see more native fish come back. Right now there's a lot of carp and thing down in yep. there. So that would be another recreation enhancement, I think, too, is that you'd actually see an expansion probably of fishing opportunities and things. And maybe we can find locations for those anglers that might work better along the river where we can kind of create better pockets that allow yeah. separation and segregation of different types of uses along yeah. the river with that as well. Last one, service delivery. We are in the service business also as a government. And so continuing to look to make sure that we have we're meeting the needs of the community related to service levels, but then also being realistic of our capacity to do that. Mm-hmm. So if we have an expectation of certain service levels, do we have the appropriate staff and resources to do that? And if not, we probably need to recognize those and right-size those. There's a few departments we've looked at, administration, police, and streets and parks in particular. So mm-hmm. we'll probably continue to look at those studies and then say, do we invest in these? Is this a reasonable level of service, or do we pause for now and say we can't afford that level of service delivery and responsiveness in those areas. So that'll be a continued work. We're going to work on getting more community input and see how we're doing. So commitment to a community-wide survey probably would include benchmarking as well with other communities. So if we can find certain survey tools, you can do it where you can see how you stack up related to other communities around satisfaction. Might be able to weigh another tool for us to probe people as well related to specific projects or service levels. Mm-hmm. You know, that was discussed by the council last night. And then one I think everybody kind of cringes a little bit about, but, you know, you can't avoid difficult topics. And so downtown parking needs yeah. are met.
We were just talking about that yeah. a little earlier this morning.
It's going to continue. And again, the little precursor of the survey of the business survey that we do with the University of Minnesota Extension Service, which I think we're going to be having community information meetings on that probably coming up in June. One little, probably not a surprise, it's a mix even amongst business people that mm-hmm. some perceive it as a problem that there's not enough parking, and then others the complete opposite feeling. So it's about split on that. And so we'll probably continue to say, how can we have better managed parking in the downtown, and what are the different solutions to that? to try and encourage, you know, a healthy and vibrant downtown community, but also part of that vibrancy is people be able to easily get in and out into the businesses. But also, we know we also need to make it a pleasant, like, walkable experience, right, and kind of a place where people, we want them to spend time in the downtown. If you need to go in and grab something, we want that to be able to happen, but we also want people to be able to stroll and come and look at multiple businesses in Northfield, and including the local folks as well. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, a lot of the encapsulation of a number of those components. How we're going to do it and all of the specifics are going to be a work plan. They're they're under what we call the initiatives. Those are yet to be determined, but we're going to be working with the council, our boards and commissions, and getting community feedback on how we achieve those, and then how do we show our results. Because we actually tie some metrics to success as well, which I think helps in determining, is this the right strategy or not? Will that actually lead to a tax base growth, or does that just make us feel good that we're doing the right thing? So we're also tying some of that. So into next week, it appears we have some support, and expect that the strategic plan will get wrapped up and we'll be moving into implementation.
Cool. The I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, so a lot of these metrics, those are, it sounds like those are still in development as well.
Most of them, we actually got some numbers tied to them. Now, some of them probably will need to be refined a little bit, but we didn't want to leave the initial process without at least having some on paper. So the one I gave on setting kind of some budget targets and tax levy targets is one I think that needs to get developed. But we do have housing development goals with specific numbers. It's based on a housing study. In our infrastructure for pedestrian safety, we actually have specific number of crossings that we've had identified, because I think our public works director's already looked at some plans that we have on where there might be some enhancements for those. So across the board, most of them are going to have some actual measurable metrics with that included.
That's great.
So then the next item on the agenda was the discussion of potential changes to the 1% for the arts ordinance. What was that discussion?
Yeah, Councillor Dolan and Councillor Beamer initiated it. Councillor Dolan supported the request for a policy discussion with the council around the 1% for the arts program. I think in particular what was articulated was looking at potentially setting some kind of a maximum dollar amount on a project or on an annual amount per year, one of those options, kind of as a result of the water plant project that we had, where it was a, you know, it was a large project and it grew quite a bit in our cost estimates, and our bids came in higher than planned, and it got to the point where those, the 1% towards the capital cost of the construction, is which is what the public art is based on, is on these capital projects, and then we capture some money into that project for that. I think some of the question was, is these really large projects, were they contemplated or not, and should there be some kind of a maximum put in place related to that? Because I think the water plant one, as an example, could have generated over $500,000 plus of arts programming, which is great, because you could have some years where you're not having many projects and others higher. If we're looking out ahead, we do look at some, you know, larger investment years on capital. So I think that's one of the discussions, was mainly that cap. This, the 1% for the arts program has been in place since about 2019. So it has been a while since it's been working successfully. We've actually had other cities in Minnesota who have talked to me that they basically ripped off our ordinance, which is great. That's always a good sign.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, but, you know, public art in Northfield, which I think every council member expressed, is it's really important to the community values. It's ingrained in kind of our economic development. Our downtown has a, you know, I was talking to Ryan a little bit before we settled in. We have so many businesses. We kind of started off where a couple of council members mentioned a couple of businesses on Division Street that are like either directly provide, you know, art and, and actual like local artisans or craftspeople who have done work. And throughout the meeting, people kept throwing in different business names. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this one. I forgot about that one. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, we do have a lot here. In the arts, I think by having public arts that's visible, it's accessible to everybody, so you don't have to have a lot of money to then be able to see it. It's also a tourism draw. There was some discussion with the council, too, like on what we're trying to achieve. There was some feedback to say, hey, if we can think about some of this art that might also attract tourism, that might be an added benefit as well. So we kind of got off into some of those areas, and we know that there is definitely a strong economic development piece to that one. And we had some really cool projects that have been completed. So I think that's what we'll be coming back with. We got there, you know, there wasn't a super clear consensus about how might that be capped? But I think there clearly was some majority support to look at that. There was some discussion, too, about making the floor a little bit higher. There was a little bit of openness to that. But basically, the project started a minimum of $175,000. That's it's still a big number to a lot of us, but that number on capital projects actually is fairly small. So there was some discussion to say, should we also make that lowest amount, the base floor of that, where we start calculating it, maybe it should be $500,000 or $1 million. That's a possibility. There were a couple of other wrinkles that maybe individual people had, but I think overall we'll probably go back to the Arts and Culture Commission and then come back with some options for the council to look at potentially some changes and use it as an opportunity to see if we need to do any other fine tuning while we have this policy open, because I don't know, 1,000-page ordinance book. And so when you're doing an update, you want to take a fresh look at it while you're doing it and say, is there any other refinement as we come along? But I thought it was a positive discussion. And even though they're looking at some caps, I took the feedback to mean it's a recommitment that this is important to the community and that it is a value to invest in our arts as a tourist draw and as just a quality of life piece for Northfield.
As of now, is there any particular goal tied to this to be able to do so many projects within a certain time frame, or is it just more of a, we have this available to be able to do projects as they come to us?
Yeah, I would say more of the latter, but there is a little bit of planning with that as well. So the Arts and Culture Commission's really empowered to make some of those decisions. So there might be times where you have it tied to a project. Mm-hmm. You might sometimes tie it to the specific project. So we don't have this as a recent example, but let's say we did City Hall. Let's say we built a new City Hall or something like that, or a new library. Mm-hmm. You might integrate that 1% right into either internal public art that's in public spaces or external parts of the project. There might be other ones, though, like a sewer treatment plant upgrade that generally, unless you're doing a school tour once a year, nobody's going to be out at the wastewater plant.
Yeah.
So we take that money and we invest it other places. Like that might have helped do some of these partnership on the Friends in downtown where they did these micro art projects in the summer. So it's all of a plan. I would say both the Arts and Culture Commission representatives, and our staff person and the council all said, we do want to spend a little more time and energy, too, doing more planning about maybe what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of say, do we need to save up for a few years for this project? Or can we get a grant to leverage that grant money with some of that cash? That's all part of it, because we want to try and leverage dollars. We know right now at the federal level, a lot of that arts funding is drying up. But there are private philanthropic opportunities as well.
You just said something for the second time on this show today. The idea of a new library, just maybe we'll build a new library, has come up. Is there something you want to broach there?
I wanted to specifically say examples that weren't on the mix. We are going to be talking about the exterior of the library this upcoming year and continuing our work around erosion problems we've had. Talk about climate change and erosion issues, the exterior of the library. We've had the hillsides had some issues. We've lost a couple of trees, some to disease, some due to the saturation of the thing. But I try to give examples, even like the City Hall example, because we have no plans for a new City Hall. But I just wanted to give a practical example.
Sure.
Okay. And finally, you guys talked a little bit about some bonding bill requests as well.
Yeah, so the legislative session hasn't even ended, and we're already talking about next legislative session. Why? Because even though there might be what we call, there are capital bonding projects where the state of Minnesota invests in capital projects, might be state assets, state capital, state-owned buildings, the public college system, where the state invests in dollars to take care of those facilities or build new ones, but they also sometimes fund local projects that are of regional significance. Northfield has benefited recently from those. We got state bonding dollars to build out our Milltown State Trail within the city, over $8 million, pretty large project funding for that one. And then the Transit Hub, which is going to be opening up soon, that one got state bonding as well. So we have been successful. They usually ask if it's a local project that you at least match 50% of the cost of the project. So there is a cost to do it. So we're hesitant to just dream up new ideas. But if there's something in our capital planning that makes sense, does the council want to apply? Because our deadline to apply for this upcoming legislative session is basically now or in early June. And so the council had some discussion about, is there any projects that are under capital plan or otherwise that you might be interested in to see if we can get some state funding? There were a couple that we threw out for feedback, or a few, and we did receive very strong interest from the city council around reactivating the water plant project. We've been kind of in a pause period. As you all know, we've mm-hmm. discovered a problem with manganese levels in 3 of the 5 city wells. And while it doesn't impact most of us, we've learned through testing that it is a concern for infants under 1 year of age. So mm-hmm. we are going to be looking at some interim solutions to maybe provide an opportunity for families that have infants under one to have alternative sources. And maybe the city can help out with that. But we're also looking to the future. So even though we are doing an immediate pause after the bid failure, nothing is more important to our community than the health and safety of Northfields and our guests. So we're working to come up with solutions that solve these water issues for infants, ranging from building a new water treatment plant, and then, as I mentioned, maybe some things on the interims for alternatives for people to have bottled water, filtered water, mm-hmm. reverse mm-hmm. osmosis systems. Mm-hmm. How might we approach that, or what might be different? I think one of the things that we'll be talking about is possibly doing a redesign of the plant, where we would have the base function of the plant would be the gravity filtration component, which would deal with that manganese issue. Mm-hmm. When we did the housing or the water study many years ago, that was the base recommendation. And if you're looking at a centralized system of controlling water versus just leaving it up to every individual, mm-hmm. pretty clearly that's the right solution for Northfield. Then the ability to say, okay, are there ways to look at redesigning that component to be most cost effective that we can, because we are sensitive to cost. Then being able to add alternates, or to be able to add into the future that if we can't afford the full additions in the future, could we add them later? What those might be: offices for those employees working to take care of that plant. You don't have to have them housed there. It certainly makes a lot of sense. But mm-hmm. if you're trying to do it incrementally to keep costs down, the storage of the garage storage of our equipment and our people could be accommodated in other locations, mm-hmm. at least on a shorter term basis. So mm-hmm. that could maybe be an add-on option. And then an additional add-on option is the ability to be prepared for a plant in the future that could have a reverse osmosis that would be able to take care of other potential contaminants and regulations. Would be a feature that could be another add-on option to be included as well. So originally when we did the last bid, it packaged all of those together, and of course the costs were a lot higher than planned, but this might be a way for us to go back to the table. I think if we're going to have more conversations around this, but if we can get the state funding to pay for mm-hmm. half or a good chunk of that, that might help. Mm-hmm. We've learned that there are lots of other cities that are in a similar situation to us that are yep. also feeling the financial pressure. So there might even be new programs opened up related to this treatment. And maybe there are ways we can design the plant more efficiently, greater cost savings with it, and then maybe do it as it where it could be phased. So
all right.
We'll be talking to the council. I think the other thing we will probably be looking at, well, I expect we will, is engaging some more participatory process throughout the redesign of that. So maybe involving some council people, maybe some people from the public, to get more ownership and buy-in and understanding, and maybe even include some of our local trusted public health officials to be a part of that process as well. So that if we take another shot at it, let's make sure we bring everybody along with us with the process as
that's
well.
That's a very good idea.
The other project, so there, I think that one will be coming forward in June for consideration to give staff direction to apply for that. And then the other one we looked at was, we've been looking at some maintenance improvements at the Northfield Community Resource Center, and things like our HVAC systems, potentially putting a solar array on the roof to bring costs down for energy costs for the different tenants out there, our important social service providers, early childhood providers, our senior 50 North program, the food shelf. We can mm-hmm. help keep the costs down for them. That would be a good thing. So that was another project that there was some support from the council on. So we probably would have that one as an option as well. You can put in a request for multiple projects. You just have to prioritize those. So we'll be getting some feedback at that project as well from the city council.
All okay. right. Wow. All right. There you have it, folks. A 3-hour work session okay. in yes. about 20 minutes. Yeah. So thank you so much for summarizing all that so succinctly. Anything else?
I probably have gone over my time. Oh. Already, so,
you get however much time you need, Ben. Always.
Well, right. thank you, Ben.
These are real big rock issues, and it's just the council had some great deliberation on this, and so I appreciate the time to be able to share that with your listeners.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming in. We appreciate your time. Mm-hmm.